Hello, brothers and sisters, and welcome once again to Food for the Journey. Journeys are very different, aren't they? Sometimes they're smooth and nice, and sometimes they're fraught with all kinds of obstacles. But brothers and sisters, we have a journey here that leads us to the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords one day. You and I are going to see him, and we want to be in joy when that happens. So Sunday, the 27th of June, we read in part these words. O God, through the grace of adoption, you chose us to be children of light. Grant, we pray, that we may not be wrapped in the darkness of error, but always be seen to stand in the bright light of truth. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. First reading today is taken from the Book of Wisdom, chapter 1, verses 13 to 15, and then go to chapter 2 for verses 23 to 24. It's a short reading from the Book of Wisdom, but it says a lot. God did not make death, nor does he rejoice in the destruction of the living. For he fashioned all things that they might have being, and the creatures of the world are wholesome. And there is not a destructive drug among them, nor any domain of the nether world on earth. For justice is undying. For God formed man to be imperishable. The image of his own nature he made him. But by the envy of the devil, death entered the world, and they who belong to his company experience it. Brothers and sisters, there are so many ways, especially with all the ways of communication today, how we can listen, look to, read things that are true errors. They're not about God. They're ones that can honestly lead us to hell. And you say, oh, well, just a little bit of this or a little bit of that. No, not even a little bit. Get rid of it. Get rid of every sentence of it. Because we want to be, as Psalm 30 tells us, we want to be people who praise the Lord because he has rescued me. We want to be of those people, the ones who are saved by God. And we ask God to save us. And we rely on him. I will extol you, O Lord, for you drew me clear. You did not let my enemies rejoice over me. And you say, yeah, well, I've got a lot of enemies and nobody's going to help me. Yes, they are. If you turn to the Lord and ask him, if you're willing to give up certain things in your life that keep the Lord away from you, God will hear your prayer. O Lord, you brought me up from the nether world. You preserved me from among those going down into the pit. Sing praise to the Lord, you his faithful ones. Give thanks to his holy name, for his anger lasts but a moment, a lifetime, his good will. At nightfall, weeping enters in, but with the dawn, rejoicing. Hear, O Lord, and have pity on me. O Lord, be my helper. You changed my mourning into dancing. O Lord my God, forever will I give you thanks. That's been one of my favorite psalms, Psalm 30. I really encourage it to make your own. We've all gone through some difficult times, one way or another. But God is faithful, and God never leaves us unless we shove him out. Please turn to him. And then we read from the second letter of Paul to the Corinthians. This is a little broken up. Chapter 8, verses 7, 9, and then 13 to 15. Chapter 8, 7, 9, and 13 to 15. Brothers and sisters, as you excel in every respect, in faith, discourse, knowledge, all earnestness, and in the love we have for you, may you excel in this gracious act also. For you know the gracious act of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, for your sake, he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. Not that others should have relief while you are burdened, but that as a matter of equality, your abundance at the present time should supply their needs, so that their abundance may also supply your needs, that there may be equality. As it is written, whoever had much did not have more, and whoever had little did not have less. God knows our needs. He knows our fundamental needs. Ask God. Turn to God first. Ask God, please, Lord, help me. This sounds odd, but some restaurant who would at least give me one meal a week. Think about it, brothers and sisters. If you're isolated, if you are alone, if you have no one to care for you, if you are in need of help, you can call the charitable organizations in your city. Yes, of course. But also turn to God and say, God, help me. Show me. He'll get something to you quickly if you are still in need. Oh, brothers and sisters, God loves you. God loves you. Believe that. All right, let's take a look now at the gospel. It's a long one. Read with me. Mark chapter 5, verses 21 to 43. 21 to 43. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a large crowd gathered around him, and he stayed close to the sea. One of the synagogue officials named Jairus came forward. Seeing him, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him, saying, "My daughter is at the point of death. Please, come lay your hands on her that she might get well and live." He went off with him, and a large crowd followed him and pressed upon him. There was a woman afflicted with hemorrhages for 12 years. She had suffered greatly at the hands of many doctors and had spent all that she had, yet she was not helped but only grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. She said, "If I but touch his clothes, I shall be cured." Immediately, her flow of blood dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. Jesus, aware at once that power had gone out from him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who has touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to Jesus, "You see how the crowd is pressing upon you, and yet you ask, 'Who touched me?'" In other words, we can't tell. And he looked around to see who had done it. The woman, realizing what had happened to her, approached in fear and trembling. She fell down before Jesus and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has served you. Go in peace and be cured of your affliction." While he was still speaking, people from the synagogue's official house arrived and said, "Your daughter has died. Why trouble the teacher any longer?" Disregarding the message that was reported, Jesus said to the synagogue official, "Do not be afraid, just have faith." He did not allow anyone to accompany him inside except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And when they arrived at the house of the synagogue official, he caught sight of a commotion, people weeping and wailing. So he went in and said to them, "Why this commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but asleep. Can you imagine?" And they ridiculed him. And then he put them all out. He took along the child's father and mother and those who were with him. He took the child by the hand and said to her, Talitha Kume, which means, little girl, I say to you, arise. The girl, a child of 12, arose immediately and walked around. Can you imagine? What would we do? At that, they were utterly astounded. I'll bet they were speechless. He gave strict orders that no one should know this and that she should be given something to eat. He didn't want the truth of what he had done for this little girl to be spread abroad. He just wanted to help her and then give her something to eat. He cared. He cared enough. Aren't we sometimes, we see somebody in distress, and I'm not saying we're Jesus, but are we a person who stops and says, may I help you? Do we turn to the needs of others? Do we look around in our own situation and say, could I maybe, if I'm a man, could I escort that woman to someplace where she could get help? Or can I sit beside her and encourage her? Brothers and sisters, all of us, we're called to be, as we say it these days, good Samaritans. And we are. Bring the mercy and the love of Jesus Christ to those who are in need. You and I don't have the gift of totally healing one another, but if we can heal people's minds and hearts and souls, we will have another kingdom in the glorious kingdom of heaven. Brothers and sisters, be kind to everyone. I remember as a child, I was up the street from my grandmother's house, walking along the pavement there, and it was just another block into the heart of town. And I was just going quickly to run an errand, and I was always running errands as a child. And as I got to this one corner, a man ahead of me slipped, and he fell into the street. And I thought, well, I can't pick him up. I can't do anything. But I went over to him, and I sat beside him. And when somebody came by, I just said, call the police. And right away, they came, and they took him to the hospital. I don't know whether he had broken bones or other kind of injuries, but he certainly hit the cement hard and jumped even from the curb to the street itself. So please, brothers and sisters, let all of us. You say, well, I don't have time. No, you don't have time for God. You don't have time to bring God's presence into another person's. I don't mean you can heal them, but you can get them help. Remember that, brothers and sisters. Believe me. That man passed my grandmother's house in the year ahead at least two or three times, and he'd wave out the window to me and say, I'm getting better and better. It was not anything I even thought about, really. I just did it because it was needed. Let us all, brothers and sisters, become greater and greater good Samaritans. That's what he wants us to be. Love one another. May God abundantly bless you and lead you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.